Welcome to the Independent RX Forum with Pharmacy Times and the National Community Pharmacists Association, the leading advocate and business education resource for America's independent pharmacists.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jack Mosloom, and I run the communication shop for NCPA. I'm a first timer on the podcast, so don't hold it against me if I screw up. I'm here today with Ronna Hauser and Carrie LaViolette, who run our advocacy and regulatory shop. And there has been a lot happening lately, especially with DIR. And I wanted to get right into it with the two people who know more about that subject than anybody. Hi, Ronna. How are you?
Hey, Jack. I'm great. Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure. So there's a new rule. After many stops and starts, it looks like we're close to the finish line with this. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. Yeah, Jack. As you know, NCPA has had as a priority for many years to end the egregious practice of DIR fees that are assessed well after a drug has been dispensed. So we were pleased to see a few weeks ago that CMS did release a proposal that would go into effect January 1, 2023, that would end the retroactive nature of DIR fees. It would end clawback fees. I would require that anything that's negotiated between a PBM and a pharmacy in Part D be predictable and be transparent upfront. So pharmacies will definitely have more transparency and predictability in their reimbursements with this proposal. But as with everything, the devil's in the details. So there's a lot that we're wading through and making sure that we're responding accordingly in the best interest of our members.
This is a significant development, right? Because we've been working on this for 100 years. I think I was in high school when you guys started working on this issue. So it's a big deal. I know we were involved in a lawsuit, Carrie. Where does that stand and what's the plan going forward on that?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Thanks for having us. We've been trying to exhaust every route available to us via the regulatory, through the agencies, trying to pass legislation. So we came to the decision, which was a very expensive decision, is to file a lawsuit against HHS, at the end of the Trump administration. And so the new administration has taken it on. And basically, you know, in a nutshell, this proposed rule that Ronna had referenced is essentially what the lawsuit would have accomplished as well. So we've asked for a stay. We are granted the stay by the judge. And so that's just kind of in a pause right now until we see what happens with what the agency does. But, you know, significant financial resources, you know, that went into that. And, you know, that's always, you know, worst case scenarios, you want to sue the government, right? Because it's very expensive. It could drag out for years. But we made that hard decision to do that because it just was just unsustainable for our members, the current trajectory of the DIR fees just increasing year over year. So right now, that's in like a pause moment until we see what comes out of this rulemaking by the agency.
And we were here, this feels like deja vu, right? I remember, I think it was back in 2018, there was a very similar rule. We were all excited about the potential for that rule to be enacted. I have two questions. One, is there any significant difference between this rule and that one? And why do you think this one seems to have a better chance of actually being finalized? Is there something different about the respective administrations in which these rules were advanced?
Yeah, Jack. So the previous rule that we saw in 2018 timeframe was not as formal of a proposal as this one is. It was more of an idea that the agency put forth. But practically speaking, it does the same thing. It would have, at the end of the day, fairly the same impact as the proposal we see now. That is, the pharmacy would be paid their lowest possible reimbursement at point of sale with the possibility for positive incentive payments afterwards. So the proposals are very similar. There are some glaring differences. One of them is back in 2018, it was not a formal regulatory proposal like it is this time. Back when the idea was first put forth by CMS in 2018, they would have applied this idea to the entire benefit. So all phases of the benefit, you have to account for all price concessions at point of sale. In this new proposal that we're weighing in on, and by the way, comments are due March 7th. So we would probably likely see a final rule in the May timeframe. But in this new proposal, they have put forth sort of two different scenarios. So all pharmacy price concessions would be accounted for at point of sale in all phases of the benefit, except the coverage gap. So that's one thing we're really going to be fighting back against. We don't want to see two different systems. We don't want to see a period in time during the coverage gap when retroactive fees can still be assessed. So that's that is probably one of the most glaring differences in the 2018 proposal in this one.
And Carrie, within the language of the new rule, I think CMS noted that DIR fees have increased by 107,000% or something. Do you think that that's so mind-boggling even to these bureaucrats that they felt like they had to do something? I mean, have the PBMs kind of reached the end of their rope with these folks?
Yeah, no, good point, Jack. I mean, the Part D program is a very large program. It's, a lot of money the government pays, for seniors' prescriptions, et cetera. That number is astounding. Like, we knew kind of anecdotally, just talking to our members, that it was a big number, but like to actually see it, like from the agency, how large that was. I mean, it's just astronomical and unsustainable for our members to plan year to year on what may be taken out retroactively. So, Congress has taken notice, and really pushed the agency to do that. From a lot of our lobbying activities and our members' lobbying activities, talking to the members of Congress, of like CMS being a really good steward of the money here, that this is going there and not going to the patient. The PBM doesn't really even touch the drug. So they're the part of the supply chain that really doesn't even touch it, but they're getting
classic money. Middleman. They just don't, they serve no health purpose. Rana mentioned that our members are going to be submitting comments. I'm sure they're eager to do that right away. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, Jack, we are working on a template that our members can use to submit comments by the March 7 deadline. So we hope to have that template out and available to members around the February 1st timeframe. So we're asking folks to wait until that timeframe so we can have a consistent message from independent pharmacy into the agency.
And folks who want that can follow us, ComPharmacy, and on ncpa.org. I know we had lots of momentum in Congress. We had some really good champions like Ron Wyden and others, and we were pushing to have them address DIR in the Build Back Better legislation. Either one of you, it's a jump ball. Where does that stand and what can we expect?
Yeah, so there's, we were pushing for that. We were in the mix, according to the people in the know. But there's other priorities that, end up higher, right? So the last person in the room is, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, and Mitch McConnell. And there's other priorities that like rise above, right? It was a priority, but it just didn't make it into that last part. But, we're still pushing that angle. We're never going to stop pushing the legislative angle, the regulatory angle, and the legal angle to get this across the finish line. There were some good conversations between members of Congress that matter to the agency that, hey, if we can't get this done in BBB, Build Back Better, can we at least get it in a reg? So, that's sort of how this transpired, is to get in this regulation. Might not be perfect, but it's a good first step. This is a marathon, not a sprint. And to actually get the agency to tinker with anything in the Part D program is a big win. They've always been very hesitant to like mess with anything in that program. So that's just that they're looking at that and looking at PBMs and they're like, wow, what's going on here? There's been a lot of noise, which is good. And a lot of people other than pharmacies talking about how PBMs, have disrupted the system and really aren't providing that much of a benefit to patients. So that's sort of where we are there.
So let's assume this thing happens, like the rule gets finalized. What do you guys do with your lives after that? I mean, what happens when Batman finally kills the Joker? Like, what are you guys going to do?
Yeah, no, Jack, I think we're going to have to look for, how it's being implemented. I mean, implementation and enforcement is going to be very important and make sure that the PBMs are following the rules if this is finalized, number one. Number two, I think there's still a gaping hole that we're going to see that we have to fill when it comes to how pharmacy quality is measured in Part D. So I think you will see us focus some efforts into future ways that CMS can ensure standardized pharmacy quality measurement in Part D.
I'd say, Jack, too, to add on to what Rana said, is we're always super cautious about, you know, the PBMs seem to be, you know, a step or two ahead of us, and we'll shift it to somewhere else. You know, back in the days, it was MAC, right? Maximum allowable cost. Then it went to DIR. And, you know, so they're already plotting in a room somewhere of the next thing. So we're just trying to get ahead of that as much as we can.
Right.
And members of Congress finally hear us now because they've seen it now. You know, the ones that have been there over, you know, a decade or so are like, oh yeah, they just move it to here. They just move it to there. We have some good momentum on Capitol Hill and in the agency too, that they're trying to get a handle on this and lower drug prices. As we all know, we're the only country that uses PBMs and our drug prices are through the roof. That might be sort of a correlation that, you know, has resonated with them.
I think too, another big difference is there's been a lot more public reporting about PBMs and their shenanigans over the last, I would say, year and a half. It seems to me like all of a sudden the press kind of picked up on this. And I think that has increased the momentum and maybe put this on more radar screens in DC.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I've, you know, been lobbying on this issue, like you said. I don't want to date myself, but it's been almost a decade I've been lobbying on this issue. But, you know, I'll walk into a Hill office on Capitol Hill and they actually know what DIRs are and what PBMs are. Like 10 years ago, no, you know, the average American still doesn't know what a pharmacy benefit manager is, but, you know, almost every health LA and chief of staff on Capitol Hill actually knows what a PBM is now and what DIR fees are, which, you know, so that just a, you know, a testament to like the members of ours that just, you know, continue to talk to their members of Congress and try and educate them. And that's been part of this, why we've been victorious, is because of the strength of our membership. We have, you know, you have a pharmacy in every congressional district. The PBMs aren't in every congressional district.
Yep. And our members have been super active. They've written thousands of letters. They've submitted thousands of comments over the last few years. They blew up the phones in the Senate not long ago. And so they're as big a part of our strategy as anything else we're doing, and probably more effective, because as you just mentioned, every congressman and all of his constituents know the local pharmacist. So, you know, to the extent that our members, you know, continue to be engaged in the grassroots activities, you know, that really could be the difference.
You know, it's an election year. There's still the COVID restrictions on Capitol Hill. It's hard to get meetings in the Capitol complex, all of that stuff, but it's just vitally important. I know that everyone's stressed with vaccines, with testing, the boosters, the, you know, all of the above, that, you know, members of ours reach out to their member of Congress and invite them in the pharmacy and, you know, look at what we've done in the last 2 years. I mean, we have done a great job. And on top of that, you know, we're still getting just these horrible, you know, PBM anti-competitive practices pushed on us. And, you know, we really stepped up. I mean, the whole pharmacy community did. And I think, you know, if they get time, that's super important for them.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, this is all exciting stuff. I feel like a fan, you know, I'm waiting to see the ending. So I think we're coming up on time here. And I want to thank both of you for letting me fill in for Doug. Don't tell him I did this badly. I won't get another chance. You know, we'll see you guys next month. Thanks, everybody.